Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 22nd, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, new avian flu outbreaks crop up in China. More Asian soybean rust has been found in the U.S., this time just one state to the south. And the WTO negotiations continue around the globe. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And while we don't have a report from all five of our regularly scheduled state statisticians, we'll hear today one last time from Iowa and Nebraska. It all happens in this Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The December wheat at $2.97, a settlement price there a penny and a half lower. March contract at the board for the soft red winter wheat down a half today at $3.12¾ a bushel. December corn futures, $1.91¼. They were unchanged today. The March at $2.05¼, unchanged. And the May corn at $2.13½, unchanged. December contract for next year at $2.41 a bushel, and they were unchanged as well. January soybeans, $5.72¼, unchanged. March contract at $5.80, up a quarter. And the May futures in the bean pit at $5.86¼, up 1 cent. November soybeans, $5.96¾, down 1½. December bean meal, $1.73.60, down 30. December bean oil, up 5 at $21.98. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange. January feeder cattle at 113.17½. They were up 50 for the day. December live cattle at $91.02, were up 70 cents. And the December lean hog, 67.5 cents higher at $61.32.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it was a quiet day. It sure did look like it was a quiet day at the Chicago Board of Trade heading into Thanksgiving. Is this what we can expect maybe from now until sometime in January?
Well, I don't know about that one, and I sure hope it isn't going to be quite this quiet, Todd, because it'd be rough on us business-wise. But it sure was another quiet day. The funds had been early in the day. They were small net buyers, 300 to 400 beans, about 100 meal, and they sold probably about 2,500 corn and 500 wheat on the day. They tried to run the beans up to hit some stops, but it didn't seem like we triggered much once we got there. So, you know, we settled off, just like you said, to a big zero on the day, pretty much across in the corn and the beans, and a very, very quiet trade up there, you know, from about 10:30 on.
You were in for our Saturday Commodity Week program. We record that Friday evening. When I asked the question on that day if the panelists were bearish the corn market, before I actually got it all the way out of my mouth, almost all three of you said, no, that's not the case. But I think you came up with the best answer, potentially, and we used it as the quote of the Commodity Week in our weekend newsletter, which basically said we're not bearish this market, but we don't think she's going to go higher, and that, as we get further out, we may see some evaporation of the carry in the market. Can you explain that, please?
Well, you know, we have got good demand at these low prices, Todd. We're seeing, number one, the farmers have tucked this corn and bean crop away in the bin. We do need corn for ethanol for some different feed usage, and of course, some of our exports have been running along pretty good the last couple of weeks. And the farmer is not a willing seller at this point in time. So the basis levels have actually crept in as much as 50 cents in some areas to what they were during the middle of harvest. But our flat price is staying here, you know, right around the area where we're at. And we've got a good carry. You know, if we look out, we're like a 30-cent carry from now to July, from the D's to the July crop. And, you know, we we are not bearish as the flat price going down, but we're not sure it's going to be 30 cents more plus what we would normally consider should be another 10 cent narrowing of basis between now and July for that time period, or will cash be 40 cents more then? We're just not sure with the large supplies, if we have good weather, that can happen.
What have you been hearing from the clientele that you talk with across the Midwest, maybe around the nation, about their planting season plans for acreages and corn and soybeans, potentially wheat, and what they might have put in the ground already?
Well, we've seen more wheat plantings than usual from our customer base, number one. Number two, there's a lot of talk that their neighbors aren't going to plant as much corn because they can't afford to. But I think that all in all, we're going to see a little more beans being planted across a lot of areas. We were at a big group meeting the other day, and amazingly enough, though, was when we say that, 80% of the farmers looked like they were going to keep their same rotation for next year. But that leaves 20% to change out there. And one large farmer, a 5,000-acre farmer, said he was going to all beans next year. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of that going on, but it does look like we're going to probably cut back somewhere between 1 to 2 million acres in the corn. A lot of that will probably happen in the irrigated areas where the natural gas costs or the diesel fuel has made it a little bit hard on them as far as paying their irrigation bills. And we're going to pick up some wheat acres, and we're going to pick up some other people, just switching to a few more acres beans just for the economy of the way the nitrogen costs look.
I suppose losing 1 to 2 million acres and not exactly knowing where it came from wouldn't be particularly hard to do. I mean, USDA hasn't really accounted for all of the acreage that it seems to be available. They're off by, if I remember right, about 3 million acres. And, of course, then we had, in the last couple of years, we're up about 4 million acres last year, 2 million this past year and 2 million the previous year in corn. So I suppose if dropping one would be easy to do, and you might not even notice where it came from, right?
Well, I think, it's going to come from different places around. I think that Central Illinois probably has done a better job of buying fertilizer early, and they've put their fertilizer and stuff on, so we're probably not going to see it in that area. I think on the fringe states, and like you said, the areas where the irrigation, and also just some of the areas like that. But we're looking for somewhere in the at least 1.5 million acres of corn probably be reduced for next year.
What are you hearing about the Brazilian crop as it starts to come on? Planting season continues there for soybeans and corn, for that matter, in Argentina.
Well, planting seemed to be racing along fairly good clip, Todd. Unfortunately for us and for what we were hoping for the markets is they got some nice rains over the past. But there is some talk about some dryness creeping back into parts of Brazil, as we can move along here. So, it is one of the things that we are going to be watching because after this week it's supposed to get a little warmer and drier in southern Brazil. But there's still no big talk of the end users picking bottoms yet or coming in to buy some stuff here. And we have lost a little business to Argentina over the last 2 weeks.
Let's stay with the global aspects. We'll talk a little bit about China. And I think the 16th and maybe 17th outbreaks, if I remember the newscast right, is coming up in just a bit, of avian flu reported yesterday in China in the poultry flocks. Some interesting things happening there. And then they're really putting down the line on their government. Officials, I think they want them to report outbreaks within 4 hours of the time that they are known locally, and they want them reported back to the central government. So they must be working terribly hard to try to contain this. Does that scare you at all in terms of what might happen with exports of soybean meal from the United States?
Actually, it gives me a little better feeling of confidence. Before, when they were trying to hide things, we didn't know really where we were at was the scary part. Now, a couple, three outbreaks that are contained aren't near as scary if we're on top of them. They've vaccinated between 40% and 50% of their flock over there, which is a lot of shots or however they're giving them to be given. We can get this under control and feel somewhat confident that they're going to continue to try to keep the bird population alive and to continue to feed. If they're alive, they're going to eat better because dead birds don't eat much. So this is actually a positive aspect to the American farmer and to the meal usage as far as I'm concerned.
And then speaking of meats, let's talk a little bit about the Mercantile Exchange as well today. They had an update across the floor there at the Merc today.
Yeah, actually a little bit surprising. We really didn't feel that they would probably be up today. We thought they broke a few technical points, pushed on down, and just the way some of the Meats were backed up a little bit. We looked for a little bit of a down day, but Tuesday, a little bit of a turnaround, a little bit of flush back up, but don't look for the strength to continue the rest of the week here. I think we'll drift sideways into the weekend.
And then, of course, we have a holiday weekend, no trade Thursday, and half day maybe on Friday, I believe.
I think actually we close a little bit earlier on Wednesday and have the full day on Friday, but sort of silly here. But it's just going to be, you know, like I say, sort of a quiet week. The one thing we want to look at, and of course this does not mean it will happen, but historically beans tend to rally the day before and the day after Thanksgiving. So we'll see if they can maybe get a little bounce up there.
All right. We thank you much for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Ed Kieser says a lake effect snow watch is in effect for LaPorte, St. Joseph, and Elkhart, Marshall, and Kosciusko counties in northern Indiana for late Wednesday night through Friday afternoon for the potential of some locations receiving over a foot of snow. Now, for the rest of us tonight, Ed says, in northern and east central Illinois and western Indiana, increasing cloudiness, some snow and rain showers arriving overnight. In west central and southern Illinois, becoming cloudy, some rain showers possible in eastern Indiana. Partly to mostly cloudy, lows this evening, Ed says, from 24 in northeastern Indiana to 34 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, in west central and southern Illinois, partly sunny, windy, and mild. In northern and east central Illinois and western Indiana, mostly cloudy, rain and snow showers early, and then just rain showers. And the highs tomorrow from 36 in northeastern Indiana.
China yesterday reported its 16th and 17th bird flu outbreaks in poultry in a northern and central province, despite a nationwide effort to vaccinate billions of farm birds. Experts say migrating geese and other wild birds likely are spreading the virus. Also Monday, the government newspaper China Daily said provincial governments had been ordered to report new outbreaks directly to China's national cabinet within 4 hours of discovering them. Those who fail to comply will be fired and may face jail time. China has reported new outbreaks of the virulent H5N1 strain of bird flu in poultry almost daily, despite an effort launched last week to vaccinate all of its 14 billion chickens, ducks, and other farm birds. Meanwhile, the executive director of the Iowa Poultry Association says there's heightened surveillance on poultry farms for bird flu here in the U.S.
People in Iowa need to understand is, number one, we're looking for this. And number two, and it's not that we're expecting to find it, we're hoping we never find it, but we are looking to see if we're seeing anything. And we have plans and programs in place to respond if, in fact, we find something. We work very closely with our state veterinarian, Dr. Schultz, at the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. And we work very closely with the federal level people, too.
Kevin Minchattel adds producers are constantly looking for ways to improve the biosecurity at their egg-laying facilities.
What that means is that producers are being careful about who enters their buildings, what kind of equipment enters their buildings, the procedures that they have in terms of making sure that pests are kept away from buildings, kept out of the buildings, because what you want to do is isolate the birds from any disease vector that you possibly can. People can carry diseases, equipment can carry diseases, and of course, other birds or rodents, insects even, things like that can carry diseases. So producers are taking a look at the biosecurity measures they have in place, and they're looking at how they can improve those.
Kevin Vincetti is executive director of the Iowa Poultry Association. Well, Colombia says it's not satisfied with agricultural negotiations with the U.S. designed to produce a free trade agreement. Colombian officials have given U.S. negotiators until Wednesday to deliver a new proposal on agriculture, or else that country may not sign the agreement. Talks have been underway in Washington since November the 14th. And on the 13th, and supposedly final round of negotiations, complete a trade deal that would include Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. The Colombian negotiators have clashed with U.S. demands for free access to Colombia's corn, rice, and chicken markets. The U.S. government wants Colombia to immediately set zero tariff quotas
for those products. Australia's trade minister is warning that failure at a World Trade Organization summit in Hong Kong next month could set back the cause of global trade liberalization by more than 5 years. Mark Vail said the WTO could not afford a repeat of the disastrous ministerial meeting in Cancun, Mexico in 2003. That meeting collapsed in disarray and acrimony, paralyzing the global trade body for months. Five key members for a world trade agreement, the U.S., Brazil, the EU, India, and Japan, are meeting today in Geneva to once again try to produce a framework document. The Hong Kong summit is set for December the 13th to the 18th. American Farm Bureau Federation policy specialist Mary Kay Thatcher says some progress needs to be made in Hong Kong, but a deal could be finalized in 2006.
The WTO negotiation can drag on for a while, although we in the U.S. are really the end point for that. We lose what's called trade promotion authority in mid-2007. This WTO agreement would have to go through the Congress. We would have to have that trade promotion authority. So really, unless we get something to Congress in early 2007, it's unlikely we can pass it for a long time.
Yesterday, European trade negotiator Peter Mandelson indicated he could be flexible in cutting some farm tariffs if powerful developing countries such as Brazil agree to open up their industrial and service sectors. Monday, European officials said the potential concessions would focus on the amount of sensitive products such as vegetables, beef, and dairy goods, which are sheltered from any trade agreement. The EU's latest offer labeled at 8% of the farm products as sensitive. The high volume of people filing for loan deficiency payments electronically on the Farm Service Agency system has overloaded it at times this harvest season. The USDA's emphasis on electronic filing for LDPs has boosted electronic processing from 14,000 payments last year to more than 750,000 payments electronically filed this year. In Illinois, more than 150,000 LDPs have been paid, about 90% of that issued through direct deposit. Producers who were used to having their county offices issue checks every Friday are now waiting up to 3 weeks to receive checks. USDA on Monday confirmed that Kentucky has become the ninth state to be infected with Asian soybean rust. University of Kentucky plant pathologist Don Hirschman says the find is measured in inches rather than acres.
It's almost comical in a way that I could only find it on one leaf and one kudzu patch, and be honest with you, it was one square inch on that leaf that had lesions. So it was about the most minor, I'll just call it an epidemic as a joke really, that you could imagine for this significant disease.
Besides Kentucky, Asian soybean rust has now been confirmed this year in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana, and Texas. Hirschman says soybean growers should not overlook or discount the threat of Asian soybean rust for 2006. He says fungicide availability could still be a major issue in 2006 if a widespread disease epidemic does develop next year in key growing states. And finally, the Humane Society of the United States is filing suit against the USDA in an effort to extend federal controls over livestock slaughter to protect birds. Poultry is currently excluded from the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act, an act requiring livestock be rendered unconscious or killed before the slaughtering process. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, if you get the opportunity, drop by the WILL AM 580 Agriculture website. It's www.will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. There you'll find all the information that you hear right here on the program each and every day, and you can listen to it on your computer. We stream things live. We put it all up in archives. We even have podcasts. It's at will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Well, today, our final installment, I know I told you this last week, but we've got a couple of stragglers. Iowa and Nebraska had one more crop weather production report that we'd like you to hear. Our final installment from those two states of what's been happening there in terms of harvest and the planting season. By the way, the winter wheat now is considered to be 91% emerged across all of the nation. That's the 18 states that plant it, and that's just about on average, with par at 89%. Around the Midwest.
This is Dan Norris, statistician from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with a weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 20th, 2005. Precipitation hinders field work. Cooler temperatures, rain, and snow throughout much of Iowa slowed field work this past week. All weather stations reported some precipitation. In spite of the precipitation, over half of the state's topsoil moisture remained in the very short-to-short categories. When conditions permitted, farmers continued harvesting corn, fertilizing, and tilling. Last week, there were 3.5 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture improved from a week ago and rated 22% very short, 35% short, 39% adequate, and 4% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated lower than a week ago at 33% very short, 33% short, 32% adequate, and 2% surplus. For the field crops report, corn harvested reached 98% complete, which was 5 percentage points above a year ago, but equal to a normal pace. Fall fertilizer application was 56% complete statewide, which is 12 percentage points above the 5-year average. Grain movement from farm to elevator was rated 36% none, 36% light, 23% moderate, and 5% heavy. Off-farm grain storage availability rated 65% short, 34% adequate, and 1% surplus. On-farm grain storage availability rated 56% short, 43% adequate, and 1% surplus. Hay and roughage availability rated 8% short, 79% adequate, and 13% surplus. The quality of hay and roughage rated 7% poor, 31% fair, and 62% good. Utilization of stubble fields for grazing rated 33% none, 28% light, 31% moderate, and 8% heavy. The livestock pasture and range report, reports of calves having been weaned and marketed were received. Favorable fall weather was expected to lower calf losses. This is Dan Norris, statistician from the USDA Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending November 20th, 2005. Corn harvest was near completion at 98%, ahead of last year at 89% and average at 95%. Wheat conditions were rated as 64% good or excellent, in line with last year and better than normal. Topsoil moisture levels remain rated below last year and average, while subsoil moisture levels remain above average. This is the last weekly crop and weather report for the 2005 growing season. I'd like to extend my appreciation to the dedicated county extension educators and FSA directors who supplied the necessary information for these reports. For December through March, we will issue monthly reports. Weekly reports will begin April 3rd for the 2006 growing season. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And we'd like to extend the appreciation of WILL AM 580 and the agricultural audience to the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, and Minnesota for helping out all season long, bringing you the latest information on crop production in their states. We'll again start this up in April. Up next, your local newscast.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. U.S. Senator Barack Obama says President Bush could end the divisive politics surrounding the war in Iraq if he'd simply tell the American people, yes, we made mistakes. In prepared remarks today to the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations, Obama said Bush should admit that some things should have been done differently and urge Republicans and Democrats to work together to find a responsible way out of Iraq. The Chicago Democrat says the U.S. needs to start reducing the number of troops in Iraq. The jury at George Ryan's fraud trial is hearing from the Chicago Currency Exchange millionaire who was the former governor's host on annual vacations in Jamaica. Harry Klein says that after each visit, Ryan gave him a check for $1,000, and he slipped Ryan $1,000 in cash. Klein says Ryan told him repeatedly he wanted to pay his own way, but he says he gave Ryan the cash because Klein's wife considered it bad manners to let a guest pay. Klein also said it was Ryan's idea that Klein rent a building he owned in South Holland for use as a state licensing center while Ryan was Illinois Secretary of State. Indiana House Republicans are cooled to a proposal from Democrats for a public vote on whether Indiana should be on Central or Eastern time. Republican House Speaker Brian Bosma says he sees no needs to reopen the debate on time zones. He says Hoosiers should be looking toward the future, not the past. Democratic Representative Dave Crook says he'll introduce a bill that would put the issue up for a vote during the 2006 general election. Whether or not he was involved in a dirty bomb plot, former Chicago gang member Jose Padilla is now facing new terrorism allegations. This time they're spelled out in an indictment unsealed in Miami naming Padilla and four others. It says he trained overseas as a terrorist. The U.S. citizen has been at the center of a fight over how long Americans can be held without charges. A farm workers' advocacy group wants McDonald's to pay more for the tomatoes used to make its burgers so the extra cash can be passed on to workers who pick the crop. The coalition is asking consumers to pressure the Oak Brook-based fast food chain to support a campaign to boost wages for more than 3,000 Florida pickers. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about Thanksgiving. How will we fare here in the Midwest?
Well, be ready for a little bit of winter. We're already seeing signs of some changing weather coming our way. And it does look like starting tomorrow and tonight and right on through Thanksgiving Day tomorrow and into Friday, it is going to be a lot colder in areas of rain. And, yep, even the S-word, snow going to be coming in. We don't expect any big amounts of precipitation out of this pattern, but it's certainly going to be getting a lot colder, although the Midwest will see some clearing, albeit cool weather for the weekend.
Many will be gearing up to travel here in the Midwest, probably 100 to 500 miles if they're driving. What kind of conditions can they expect the worst areas to have?
North towards the Great Lakes. Lake effect snows are going to be a problem in Michigan, Buffalo, New York, as you get up along the shores of Lake Michigan, and those areas will see the heavier precipitation. Further south and west you go, the better the weather will be.
We'll call all of that agricultural news because an awful lot of turkeys are consumed on
That's
Thanksgiving.
Right.
All right. Turn your attention to the west and the Great Plains. How is the winter weather setting up for the crop there that is should be going into dormancy?
I tell you, it's been really warm and dry here for the last 3 or 4 weeks. There's not been very much moisture. Temperatures have been well above normal. That trend has continued, but that trend is about ready to change. There's going to be some colder weather coming and probably some much-needed precipitation for those areas, especially the central and southern Great Plains as we get into next week, especially starting this upcoming Sunday. So for those areas, especially some of the wheat areas have been dry, they are going to finally get some moisture along with some winter weather.
We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. You have a great Thanksgiving, Don.
You too.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report, and that happens on Tuesday afternoons. You have a good Thanksgiving as well. Remember, Dave and Dickie and I will be here tomorrow for Wednesday. There'll be a half day of trade at the Chicago Board of Trade, a full day on Friday, but we're going to go ahead and take the Thanksgiving Day off. So no markets from WILL on that day, although the trade will be open. Commodity Week will be recorded on Wednesday evening, so if you're looking to get that to that sometime prior to Saturday, you can pick it up off our website at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Like normal Friday nights, tomorrow night we should finish up around 5 o'clock. I'll have it up on the website about 6 o'clock if you'd like to pick it up then. Of course, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have it delivered directly to your computer on demand. That all happens right there on our website at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM, and then, as always, Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.